Incorporated, also known as Ed Wilcox Ministries Incorporated. The Lordship of Jesus Christ is the most important thing to me, and it should be to you. Is everybody good?
Yes.
All right, then say, Jesus Christ,
Jesus Christ
is Lord of me.
Is Lord of me.
Then say, Jesus Christ, and use your name this time, is Lord of Martha Jane Wilcox. Use your name. Jesus Christ is Lord of Martha Jane Wilcox. That's right. Did everybody do this? Oh, good. We are one together. We are the body of Christ, and Jesus Christ is our head. He is the Lord of us. He is the good one. He is the great one. He's the excellent one. He's the powerful one. He is the one who came for us and laid his life down so that we could have life and have it more abundantly. And that means serve him to their outermost max. That's not so we can have a better party than we were thinking about or that we were doing from the other side. This is to lay our life down just like he did for us. See, this is what seed is all about. Seed time and harvest, yes, but first, what you sow, you're going to reap. Now, who wouldn't want to reap the goodness of God at all times and be in right standing with him at all times and always in his perfect will? Today, tomorrow, and always. Yesterday might not have all the things in it you want. But today is a new day. Every time you get up, it's a new day. And this is why when people say, well, you know what that person's like. You know, you don't want to get involved with that. This seems a little loud. Is that right, or is it just me? You're good? Okay. What was I saying? Yeah, you wouldn't want to get involved with them. Oh, they, this, that, and the other. Please, don't give me an account. Okay? Have we not all been born into sin? That's what Jesus said. What did he say? After God himself appointed angels, myriads of them, and, which is a word that means lots and lots and lots and lots of them. I always tell the kids, like grains of the sand, just like Abraham was told he would have sons. So God, who is all authority, all power, all might, this is the way I look at everything from the top down. I don't look at this level. I never do. I don't look at a person. I never do. Because why? This is what I'm going to tell you. It doesn't matter what they did yesterday. It doesn't matter what they did 10 days ago, 20, 50, 1,000 years ago. It matters. Of course, we don't live that long, but it matters every day when you get up, your dedication to God. It's all about this, and it's all about what he did for you. And I talked to the intercessors about authority. If they don't know what God is like, you're going to be down here in the mix all the time. But that's going to get you nowhere. You spin your wheels right down here. But with God, you go right where he's at. He's absolute authority. There isn't any other. He said so. I believe him. And there will never be anyone ever that will take his place or can even come aside of him. He said, there's none besides me either. Neither beside me nor besides me. And he spends two or three pages saying it again and again and again. Just so that you get it understood, because there was one that didn't understand that. He used his anointing to create evil. This is Lucifer. So God was sitting in the sides of the north on his throne. Here's Lucifer, an archangel. Beautiful, beautiful. In him was instruments and music, and he had, oh, he was on. He was the most beautiful. Well, then we had Michael. I thought he was pretty great myself. He's got a sword that's a flame of fire. And then we've got Gabriel, who's going to take the abuse, isn't he? But he is the most dedicated. He's going to take the word of the Lord to whoever God sends him. Now, they can't beat him up, but you know how people are. They'll put you down. Oh, yeah. If you've got a word from the Lord, oh, they don't want to hear it. They want to do what they want to do. Well, that's not how this operates. It doesn't operate this way. So that person I was talking to you about, oh, Jane, don't you know they, this, that, or the other? Oh, my gosh, they're just a terrible person. Are they born again? I say, yes, they are. Well, they say they are. Well, then they are. You can't do that except by the Holy Ghost. You can't say that you're born of God without being that done by the Holy Ghost. It doesn't happen another way. So, this is all depends on how you value God. I value him to be the Most High, the most beautiful, the most wonderful. He's way past anything you can think of good. Things you think are so good, forget those. Okay. This is why you would sell all to buy that field. Every good thing that you'd sell all your possessions, everything you had, you'd strip down to nothing to buy that field because you have seen it to be the most beautiful, the most valuable thing to you. It's the most valuable. This is the Father God in heaven. This is the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, the most valuable. And so everything comes from the top down. You see, you have God the Father. Then who's under him? Yeah, intercessors aren't supposed to answer. They know this one. But you know what? Just go right ahead. We're just going to keep going. Then what comes after Jesus? And then what comes after the man? And because the two of them are one, he doesn't see. Now listen, he's funny about this. He does not see you as two people. You are one flesh. You become one flesh. You become one in spirit first. And then you become one flesh. That means you got to learn to get along with them. That means you got to love them more than yourself. That means you got to take care of them better than you do yourself. And some of them need a lot of care. So that person, well, Jane, you don't want to pay any attention to that person. Why not? If God's told you, you know how he is. He only sets people in authority because of what? What does God look at? God only looks on the heart. Now, once you get that in your head, you will stop looking at the outside of a man.
That's right.
You look at the heart of a man. And then, you know, you'll end up every sentence with, well, he means well. Okay? Why? Because God lives in him. Now, do you know about this? He tells you that you are the temple, and that temple is in, it's in you. What's your name?
Yeah.
That's right. So the temple of God, that's what you are. Right there burning on the inside of you. It's a flame of fire. And everybody else can see this light. We just run around with it and we forget. We put different clothes on it, you know. But it is the temple of God. This should be first thought to you. So then you wouldn't drag this temple into a place that God wouldn't go, would you?
Right.
Nah, you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't open yourself up to hearing things that God wouldn't listen to, or seeing things that God wouldn't look at. Goodness. You want to keep the temple clean, don't you?
Yes.
You want to look after it.
Yes.
Take care of it. It's a good temple. It's the best. It's the best. Remember, we were all over there in sin? Boy, oh boy. Guess what? It doesn't matter to what degree you were in it. If you were a really good sinner, if you just sinned a little. No, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God until we run into one, and his name is Jesus Christ. And I love this collision because, bam, you can't get out the way of it. Thrills me. I love it. Anyway, so, well, I'm kind of like that. I used to jump off of roofs. Well, I shouldn't say this in front of my grandkids. Yeah, I've done other things. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we want to lead people to good. Don't jump off of roofs. Yeah. I love being out on the roof because that was closer to God for me. Yeah. And He is always there. That one thing about God, once I got born again, one day I was praying. And you've heard this story, but one day I was praying. And I had a legal pad full of prayers to pray. My husband was out on the road. That ministry had to be watched over carefully. Oh, who's going to do that? So, who's going to do that? Now you know how God is. He looked to and fro in the earth to see if He could find an intercessor. But what? He could not find any, could He? Yeah. But what did we say when we met Him? We said, wait, here am I, Lord. Send me. Oh, did He ever? He sent me to next door. He sent me into the midst of priests that... He sent me places that I wouldn't go because I was like a little moth to the flame. What do you want me to do today, Lord? What do you want me to do? And I would reach and I'd grab Him around the legs and tell Him, I've got you now, Lord, and I'm never going to let you go. And I meant it. I could hear it now. Oh, that woman. But anyway, He used me continually. He loved me. And He loved the exuberance of me. I would climb up to the top of Him and jump off, you know. And that is what I know. Well, people say, well, I have to see what God wants me to do first. Well, you know, He might ask me to do something, so they're testing the water just a little bit. No, I was one of those. Yeah, He had to look after me really good because I'd jump off into Him. I thought that was the safest place. Because why? He is love. Is He anything else? That's what He is. And in that love, He's beautiful. He's caring. He watches over you constantly. You're never out of His eyesight. Did you know that? And you drag Him every place you go. Make it good.
Yes.
Yeah. Stop and talk to the one who's laying on the side of the street. Got a tin cup. Here. Okay. You give Him everything you got, you know? Because why? God said, He's giving the tone of it. Just was talking to Crystal on the way over. And Hopi girl. And what did He say? He said, if you would give a cup of cold water in My name. And that means you go and you tend to somebody who's hurting, who's needy, who needs help. And there you are. And you say, here, this is for you. Jesus told me to come and give this to you. And He loves you very much. Jesus loves you. And He knows right where you are. Lift up your voice to Him and receive Him into your heart and ask Him to forgive your sins and be made whole. He will make you whole. He'll make a way when there isn't any way. Everything that you ask Him, He pays close attention to it. And His plan for you, it'll be, He's going to yes into the plan. It's not that He's going to answer every prayer you ask. So if you're asking for a gold idol, forget that. Yeah. He's not into that. But He will give you blessing so that you can be a blessing. But, you know, as soon as you get everything squared correctly, it's not about you. It's about Him. Once we're born again, once we said, Jesus, come into my heart, we have that takes us straight up into the heaven. In fact, He already did that. He already did that. When He was raised from the dead, He rose, and He took me, and He took Crystal, and He took Hope with Him. and Kathy and Leslie and Laura, and you can go with them. She has a phone call. So, with him is the key word. Les, do you want to take all the kids?
Yes.
Since I didn't give you a chance to do that. Caleb, would you like to go with Miss Leslie? And Connor, you can go too. Or you can stay. But he took me up to heaven when he was raised from the dead before I even knew it. He took me up to heaven with him. It's beautiful what he has done. The glorious thing, what the Lord has done. He's already raised me up. It's by the faith of the operation of God. Different kind of words than we speak, but we know exactly what that means. He raised us then, and we are seated with him in heavenly places. Indeed. You see, this is Jesus right next to me. And right next to him is God. But Jesus and me, we're tight. I'm right next to him. I'm never out from him. And I carry him. I carry him on the inside. I carry him on the outside. I carry him above my head. And I stand on him in every situation. He is the Word, and that's what I stand on. The Word is in me. The Word is upon me. That's what I walk on. He's made a covenant with me and blessed my heart with it, because there is every need met to perform exactly what he wants done. And he doesn't change in it. My calling is my calling. Said to somebody last week, I said, I train ministers for the gospel. That's one of my callings since I got born again. That's why he sent me as a forerunner, so I'd know exactly what to teach and what to do. I train people by what I do, and you watch. But I teach first. I'll teach you. I'll let you know. And if you just follow this same line of authority, you'll always be in God's will. If you get out of it, if you get down here in the mix, don't do it. Don't do it. Stay under God. Stay in God. Let God stay in you. This is the stronghold. It can never be broken. It can't be taken away from you. Nobody can wiggle it out from you. He's mighty. See, rebellion always has a better idea, okay, of how this should go. Read the Word. If you'll just read the Word, then he can use you. But if you'll just read the Word, you'll see this line of authority is vital to him. Well, after you get to the husband and wife, which should be enough, because one in spirit is the husband and wife. One in spirit are you and Jesus. And that has an authority. He's the head. Don't try to order him around. Oh, no. I don't think he'll do that. Now, rebellion does. They're pushy. They push their way in. You've seen it. What did our president say? Excuse me. And he tried it again. Excuse me. That authority, bam, hit the ceiling and onto the people. Good. I stayed praying in the Holy Ghost the whole time he was talking. He had something to say to the people in that room. Most of them were news people. This is what, just a couple days ago. And the rest were his staff. But when he spoke, bam, everybody shut up. And do you know how rude the reporters are? Yeah. I don't know why they have to be so pushy. You'll take it if it's your turn. Okay? Authority is vital. God places man. He places woman. Long before I ever met Ed, I was called to him. Long before he ever met me, he was called to me. Now, how much can people mess up their lives? Pretty good. Or pretty bad, I'll just put it that way. Yeah. And then the day comes, but when that time comes, bam, this is the calling and you know it. This is it. And you're going to have to stand because you're going to be put down. You're going to be, it's going to come. Everything will come against that calling. You do it anyway. Because God has to be first. If you're protecting you, that's it. That's as far as you go. God Himself is the one who created this earth. He created every person on it. Every person, every man, woman, and child. These people all have a calling of a type. He has a plan for each and every one of them, to the smallest baby. Every life given. God is right there. Nothing surprises Him. He is the one orchestrating this earth. That's why when He moves on you to tell somebody about Jesus, He's got this plan all set up. Just follow Him. He's going to speak through your mouth. He's going to help you. You may not know what you're even going to say. Just open your mouth and He'll help you. He'll do the talking. He is the authority. There isn't. And you always go to the top first before you ever come down to this level. And when do you confer with man? If he leads you to it. Other than that, where do you sit? Under God. You sit at his feet. You read his word. You seek to know him. You seek him. He's only beautiful, but he is authority. Okay? And he's the one that places the authority. Oh, you may not like the one that he puts in authority. Well, I don't like him. Or I don't like her. Give me somebody I really like. I mean, there's a really nice pastor over there, I think. Well, if that's where God wants you, go. But you're going to thrive in the plan of God for you if you submit to God totally, 100%, and whatever He gives you, you're not going to try to turn Him one way or the other. You can't do it. He doesn't turn. It's you that's going to have to learn to turn. Well, but I don't like that person. They're too, they're radical. They're too this, they're too that. I don't like them. You think God's going to answer that? You'll get an absolute nothing. But when you say, yes, Lord, you could have said that a little louder. Yes, Lord. When you say, yes, Lord, I will go here. I will hear what you want me to hear here. Because I will grow. I will be strong in you. I'll know which way to go. I'll know which is right and wrong. And I will do the right. I titled this Last Days, but you have to get there. Otherwise, you're going to sit like a bump on the log in this time, not getting up and praying, which is such a privilege. But God calls us to it. We're to pray. We're going to help Him through our prayers. We're going to help Him through our going. Now, we're not just going to go to somebody and say, oh, you know, I'm so sorry that you're in such trouble. Golly, that is a terrible thing. And yes, it is. But then what are you going to say? Jesus loves you. Jesus has made a way for you to come to heaven, to be that son of God, to be that daughter of God, to be that child of God. I told you about the time that I had, I went for a walk. It was around 10:30, 11 at night, and it was winter, and there was ice and freezing outside. But I was going for a walk, And I was talking to the Lord, and I was praising him. And I didn't know anybody else was out there. It was dark. Anyway, so about half a block down, I see a figure, and it's about a 9-year-old boy. And he said, "Catch up to him. I want you to tell him I love him." So I caught, and when he says catch up to him, guess what? I was here, and then I was there. Now, I don't know how he does that. He did it. Paul, I was talking to Paul one day. He was working out in the flowers for me. And I said, "Hey, Paul, I'm going to the mailbox. I'll be right back." And I was at the mailbox. Now, how does he do that, and why does he do that? Wasn't for me. I knew he could do that. And he'd done it with me so many times. But for Paul, he's just seen something that would not be ordinary to see. It's something that God does. And when you place yourself under him, totally, stop crying around and whining around that you didn't get your way today. Okay, he's trying to grow you up to be mature in him, and it's only by the word and it's by obedience, and you stay, and you stay. And I'm telling you about this line of authority because next comes, if I ever finish one of these stories, but next comes the pastor. Now, who places the pastor? And in our church, it's a senior pastor and a pastor. And Brandon's the acting pastor. But this is also my pulpit. Okay? And what I say, you need to hear. And what Brandon says, Pastor Brandon, you need to hear. We're going to go places with God, but we got to hurry up. Do you know the rapture could occur right when I say the word rapture? Now, I'm used to him doing bam, and we're there. Yeah, people don't like people like that because they're never sure what they're going to do. It'll be good, I promise. It's not going to hurt anybody, but it will help everyone. It will help you to see that God is with you. God is in you. He is upon you. He has you sealed. Holy Ghost does that. You're sealed to the day of your redemption, which is soon. And we all know it's soon, but it's so soon. Like I say, it could be this very minute or a second, nano. And so if that pastor that he places you, I can guarantee you, that pastor has a heart. He's in the picking. He knows what he's doing. He knows where to place each and every person. And once you come around to that, you'll go to the pastor, whether you like the pastor or not, okay? You'll go to that pastor when you have need of a pastor's input. Don't worry, that wisdom's going to come straight from God. You're not just looking at this dumb person you think is so stupid that you're way smarter than they are. Oh, my Lord, you're so much smarter than them, don't you know? Nope. I only know the God who is wisdom in me. And the God who is wisdom in Brandon. I also know the heart of Brandon for people. I raised him. I taught him since he was 4 years old. Here we go again. When Brandon was about 6, and Mark would be 13, and they were going to turn there, everybody's 7 years in my kids. I told them, I said, "Mom's going to have a baby." And, I said, "Mom and Dad are going to have a baby." Yeah, I couldn't do that by myself, could I? No. And it's going to be a little girl. Oh, my gosh, Brandon, he's like me. Jumped up and down on the bed. That's what I said when I married Ed. And he said, "Now I'm going to fly you from here, San Diego to L.A. I'd never flown before. I jumped up and down on the bed. Okay, so Brandon, he's like that. He's so much like me. But we have a heart that's kindred. We care. We care for people. And Mark's the same. He would go out and drag people in. "Yeah, I need to come and see my parents. You don't have to walk around like that." So when one woman was in a neck brace and and back brace, and she was in trouble. Been in an accident. You need to come to my parents' house and let them pray for you so you don't have to walk around. Don't you know that Jesus took care of this already? No, I didn't know that. He says, what church do you go to? And she said, the Lutheran church right down there on 161. Well, didn't you know we'd end up at that church? And don't you know that her husband, who was the head of, superintendent, mind you, of the Sunday school, so when she knocked on my door, I find out her husband is in Hilltop. He's in the mental institution with the doors that go when you shut them. You know, they're this thick of steel, and they're... Anyway, God will send you places, what, that you wouldn't go. So I went into that mental institution, my husband and I, because of this woman who did come to our door. This is backing it up, isn't it? Who gets healed. And that story's a good one. But I just want to tell you about the husband. And I have told you this story. But I'm going to tell you again. Why? Because we're in the last days. We're in the last of the last days. Because the very same thing that he has done with me, he's going to use you for. I don't think he won't. Bam! And you're at the mailbox. For some reason. You going to let him have that reason? That's right. Whatever you want me to do, Lord, that's what I'm going to do. I tell him that every day. Whatever you want me to do. Because I don't want to get to heaven and have not done what he needs me to do. Do I wake up feeling really great every morning? Like, no. Here's when he gives me a job, that means... So he gives me a job. Yeah, I've been there. I've taught people. I've laid my life down for the teaching and the training it takes to make somebody what Jesus was doing with these young men, making disciples and then apostles. And every one of them, I said, is it me, Lord? I didn't ask that until a long time after. I couldn't figure it out. If I love the Lord with all of my heart, with all of my soul, my mind, and my strength, and then I love others as myself, how could they miss it? I was training them for ministry. Every one of them. I was training for ministry. And where did they go? Back to the world. To do the things of the world. Oh, my Lord. Why? Who would do that? No. You never turn away from the Lord. You never turn back. He says, like the dog turns back to its vomit. I hate to use that one, but ew, it will give you that idea. But that actually happens. People turn away from the Lord. Now, what is that that has to take place before Jesus comes? A falling away has to come first. Now, a falling away has taken place. Do you know what that means? Do you know what a falling away is? Jesus knocked it out of the park with, you've left your first love. Now, if you don't think that's a falling away, you don't know what one is. Remember what I told you about this authority? He only operates in this line. He doesn't operate out here. He doesn't go around and get ideas from this one and go over here to that one and get it all. Oh, stop with the foolishness, because you're wasting your time and you're wasting your Father's time. Just get under authority, which is Him. He was good enough to send His Son to die for you so that all your sins are forgiven, and now you're righteous in Him. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what we've got. We are clean from the inside out. And that permeates on out into the flesh. When I met the Lord, He was mine, right? And so I went after Him that way. I didn't know anybody was watching. Who'd stop and look at this realm? No, I left this realm. I shut myself to Him. Because what? I didn't go to Tupperware parties. I didn't go to showers. I didn't go to anything. I didn't mix. I did nothing. Just me and Jesus. And he used me to raise the dead right off the first. I thought, whoa, bingo. I have come to the right place. Of course I did. Well, anyway, so he was never going to get rid of me, right? Oh, that woman. Anyway, for 5 years, this girl that had always had chronic sore throats had none. I never had a cold. I never had no sickness, no disease for 5 straight years. It was only when I started to come down. Don't do it. Now who would have me come down? Me. Who's critical of me? Me. What did he say to me? I said, I lost my keys. Well, they were just here a minute ago. Oh, you're so dumb. You're so stupid. If you had a brain in your head, you'd be dangerous. And God spoke out of the heaven to me and said, don't you ever speak about yourself like that again. And I said, oh, this is way too hard. But Lord, can't you just take me to heaven now? Because no, I had 4 little kids and hadn't had the fifth yet. Yeah, that one was coming pretty soon down the road. About 7 years. Okay. But no, I was ready to, oh, Lord, this is too, because of the fire that he put on me. You want to enter his presence? You better be clean. Don't drag your trash in there, because none of that's going to heaven. Ain't that right, Laura? No, he's a fire. And I like that. I am attracted to that. He attracts me. I thank God. He's so clean, pure, and holy. And he is a fire. And if you enter into his presence, he'll burn out everything. The Bible calls it the dross and the, you know. But I'm telling you, everything that shouldn't be there won't be there. Everything that's in the way between you and God gets out of the way. And you can trust him. He's not going to hurt you. You think you're being hurt when he does this surgery. Okay, you're not going to be that way. You can't talk like that anymore. You can't. Okay, all better. The best that I do is speak the word only. And so I stayed right with that. And what does he hear? The word only. You better know his word. How are you going to get in his presence? It won't be because you have some story or some. Nah. Let your words be few, he says. So we talk things over with Jesus, but when we go to the Father, we let our words be few. He says, yea or nay, anything that proceeds from that is trouble. Yeah, you don't want it. You just want what the word says. So you're going to eat, sleep, the word. Breathe. Oh, you got to breathe too. Eat, sleep, breathe, speak the word. So that's what you do. I told you that. We got born again, Pastor Ed and I, and filled with God's Holy Spirit. Yippee! So we make a pact. Does anybody care anything about a vow? Let me tell you about God. He's real funny about a vow. Oh, and there's nothing funny in it. If you vow a vow, you better pay that vow. So you know, I know this is a good thing we didn't sing, right? Okay. Here. So, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. He'll even hide you. Now listen, trials are going to come. Stuff happens out here. This is what he does. He's really good. He sees everything. He sees everything coming. He'll warn you. I said to him last night, why do I feel like we're not going to have church tomorrow? Yeah, I'm praying for Brandon to have that message, you know. And I said, huh? Why do I feel like that? Didn't get the call till late this morning. So here we are. Oh, we're having church, all right. But it's kind of my style. Yeah. And I'm the authority, the head of the church. Okay? So this is what you get. He says, I will abide in the tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. Selah. What do you think of that? Pause calmly. For thou, O God, has heard my vows. Now, what's a vow? A vow, we just studied it. Kathy, Laura, I'm going to pick on you. It's a solemn promise, isn't it? A vow is a solemn promise. It's a pledge of love and faithfulness or civic duty or something of the country. But once you have taken that vow, whatever it is, and I was talking about big stuff, and my dad trained me on this when I was a little girl. See, if you vow a vow, God has heard every one of the vows that you have made, and he is heavy duty about it. Did you perform your vows? Well, now my daddy would say it this way. Janie, you better be ready to back up your word. Whatever, don't say it unless you're going to do it. Now, how little was I? 5, 6? But he was always like that. But when my dad said something, he would, and he told me, you better be ready to move heaven and earth to perform what you said you would do. Oh, geez. Okay, so it's a good thing God is a forgiving God, but he's very serious about vows. Oh, no, he's very serious. He's probably more serious than you were when you made it. But, oh, now I want, but I'm not judging anything or anybody. I'm just saying we're people, and we have to learn to what word we speak, stick with it. You know, it's just like, why would I stick into this place? I tried to get out of it, but yeah, nope. He said, stay in place. First he said, what did he say? Go forward. That's right. First he said, go forward. Then he said, I said, so now, you want me just to give this over to Brandon and you just, I can sign the, I'm talking blah, blah. And I shut up because there's a silence from heaven. And he said, stay in place. Okay. I said, well, you know, Lord, people don't listen to women. Women, they're just the weaker vessel. They don't know anything, right? I mean, that's the way they treat women. You don't know anything. And I said, well, yeah, well, you know, there's something about God. When he sends a woman, he's going to turn the world upside down. I've watched him do it how many times. And I want to go, now, dear. No, when he sends his daughter, you better listen. And he doesn't mean maybe. And so I had to understand how my dad was like this. And so, and he said, so Janie, if you, you make a promise, you're going to have to stick to it. So I signed up for, I'm 7. I'm a brownie. And so I signed up because the leader of the brownie troop, she was so nice. She was like my mommy, very kind. And a good person, and she loved kids. And I like this person, you know, this is the way my mom is. There's other people out there I go, uh-oh. But no, this person was so nice. Well, guess what happened? We had a day camp. And, it changed. The lady got sick, and so they had to bring in another woman. Well, she didn't like kids. She wasn't close. There was no attachment. She could have dropped you off the face of the earth and it'd be okay, fine, with her. She didn't like kids. I don't know how this happened. But I said to my dad, now, Dad, I want to get out of Brownies. And he said, why is that? Well, you see, there's a new person in. The lady that was our Brownie leader, she was so nice and kind. But this woman is mean. She's mean, Dad. And he goes, now, Janie, what did I tell you? Well, but wouldn't this be different, Dad? And he said, no. No, you made a vow. A what? I said, a promise. Oh, yeah, a promise I promised? He said, you did. You came in, and he had me cite my Brownie promise. And, yeah, okay. But now, and the one that... When I was teaching the intercessors about a vow, I kept going to my Girl Scout vow, three fingers, okay. And on my honor, I will try to do my duty to God and my country, to help other people at all times to obey the Girl Scout laws. That's what it said, and I believed it. And I can speak it to this day, okay, why? Because it got in me. See, I learned as a Brownie that it wasn't, if I was going to sign up for something, I was signed up. And so my dad would not, he did not know, honey, you made a promise, which is a vow. And God saw that. He did, you know. My dad, I thought he was wonderful. And he was. My dad was like my husband, of course. My dad was a commander. My husband was a commander. That means they were able to oversee. I told you, my dad had a job in World War One. Two, Jane. That'd be two. I was born in 1942, so it was started in 41. Okay, anyway, that is... They had to have the railroads, and my dad was a very experienced railroad man and a good one. And so they needed the trains to run, to take ammunition, to take plane parts, to all the different things that they had to ship different things, and soldiers and so forth. Well, and that's the way they did it. So my dad was one of a couple of men in the neighborhood who had a job that they didn't have to go to war. Everybody else went. My dad, my mom and dad never sat down to a meal that my mom didn't make a plate. Anything that she had, she gave a tenth of to anyone, to everyone who had need. And she, you know, my mom and dad would give everything they had. But they first took care of the house of God, and they took care of their family. My dad. So here he is. He had long hours. He had extra hours. He had all of this going on. But he would take food. Come on, Janie. We'd go to the store, and he would buy bags of groceries, canned goods, and we would take them to the people in the neighborhood who did. Their dads weren't there, and the moms were having a hard time. And, you know, many of them were at war or these different things. And he would take me, and... He would give whatever we had. I told you about the guy who came into town. A family, probably 5, 6, 7, 8 kids in the back of the truck. And it was just an open, you know, fence-looking kind of truck. And my dad waved and said, hi, neighbor, you know. And he said, are you just moving in? And he said, yeah. And he says, oh, where's your furniture? And we don't have any. My dad goes, okay. He says, back your truck right up here in the driveway, and we'll get you some things. My dad went through anything he had two of, and maybe everything he had. But he filled that. They had something to sit on, something to sleep on, something to, and he went on and on and on. And my dad would raise chickens. He would give them away. He would raise rabbits. I love those rabbits. And he would, but he had them for food. They were too cute. And he, see, I got to hold all the babies. You ain't gonna give away Bambi for food, are you, Dad? You know, so, but yes, he was. He said, now, honey, this is called responsibility. As sweet as those little rabbits are, they will grow up and be food for somebody. And he said, now, don't you worry your head about it. And I would cry. So he said, well, I didn't go in the garage anymore, because that's where the bunnies were, in their little cages. He took excellent care of them. My dad took excellent care of everything. But he also took excellent care of everybody. He took that food out. And no, you know what? They were different then. They didn't say, I mean, I missed it if they said, I'm born again. Okay? I didn't. Mm-mm. But they taught me to pray. I taught my brothers and sisters to pray. And I learned so much from my family, but I did not know they were different than other people until I began to see what other families were like. And then I realized there was something different about my mom and dad. They didn't talk like these people on the corner. They seemed nice, but they had a foul mouth. And then it goes on. I always noticed things, and I always didn't know why. And I knew not to. It's just the hand of God on me from the time I was given to my parents, and you guys can probably cite exactly how it was when God raised you up, and the things that you knew that other people didn't all of a sudden. And I mean, I always knew things that nobody else knew. I didn't even know I knew. But once I began to talk, I learned. All I had to do was open my mouth. And he would speak through me. I'm a little kid. But I always had the answer. I always had the way. I always had what to do. I always knew what was right and what was wrong. All I'd do is open my mouth. There is a calling on the each one of us. Now, God doesn't do something different. He's not going to make you a super clown for him when you open your mouth. No, he's going to speak his word. He's going to speak his way. It's always the same. It's never mixed up. It's never perverted. You can love him and you can trust him. You can trust him with your life. But he's serious about vows. And my dad taught me that. And a lot of times kids don't get that. They don't get that kind of teaching and training. But my dad would walk it out with his life, and my mom was the same. They walked it out, and she would hand me a plate every meal before we could sit down. We would give thanks for it. I would take it after it was blessed. And I'm just this little bitty kid, and she would send me, oh my goodness, to places I wouldn't go. But of course, that's the ones that needed it. That's the ones that needed it the most. So I learned that no matter where I was, I'd walk among the people that are in the streets. They didn't have anything. And if I had anything, I gave it to them. I told you about leaving the airport at Haiti and taking off my shoes and giving it to them. I gave them everything I had. My suitcase, they loved that because they didn't have chests or drawers. They didn't, you know. And I gave him clothes. I gave him all Noelle's clothes. You know, it was fun. And she didn't like it, but gave away her best clothes. But I said, God will. Hey, what you sow will come back to you better than you have sown. But they need it desperately. And we're not going to be able to just come over here. They don't live down the street. Let us think the way God does. He wants to give. And I made it. Everybody get in their suitcases, give your towel away that you brought, your washcloth, all the things. Give away everything. Come on now. God makes a way for you. We're in a country that God can make a way to get it into your hands if you'll give. Their suitcases were light. We gave them the soap. Everything that we had, I gave it to them. Because why? They needed it. They needed it. And that may not make sense to anybody else, but they need it. The hospitals need us. I just want to go to the hospital. There's people in there. You don't think I don't hear that? I hear it in my prayers, people crying out to God, and God, send. Oh. Every time I've said send, who does he send? Me. So, yes, I've tried. I've tried to pull it together. And it'll come exactly on time. And it will be exactly the way God wants it. It'll happen. And I told you before, when Pastor Ed left, God showed me this humongous ministry. And then there was this where it went down. And then it was this way for, I thought in myself, 3 years. And then it went right back up to that line and took off. Now, I told that to Gary when he handed me his resignation. And I said, well, let me tell you this. If you're sure that this is what God wants you to do, I'll receive it. However, I am going to tell you, and you're just going to have to trust it. It will take off, and God will do it, and it's going to be God all the way. It will be just as thick as this line was. It will be that. But then you have to have people willing. But they have to be trained and ready. Who's going to be trained and ready? It's hard to train somebody and they then sit down and do their own thing. Or they go back to their old ways. And I sure hope that... you can't let the enemy get you off and spoil you. You can't do that. He doesn't have any right to you. He's not God Almighty. He's not everywhere all at once. God is. God is the great one. And don't forget it. The devil's just... And we're going to say, what? This is the man that made all this trouble? That this is him? Jerk. Anyway, so... But God's not like that. He's everywhere all at once. And I was telling you, and when he showed me that, I was praying, I'd done with two legal pages, and there was so many prayers, and I was there on my knees 2 hours. And I was pregnant with Charity at the time. She went with me into every battle. And so, that's my girl. Two and two, the Lord sent them. Well, so the prayers for Pastor Ed and all these different churches that he was going in and all the people that got born again, it was marvelous. And they were in the church. And signs, miracles, and wonders that God would do great things, powerful things. Well, so I just got done praying all these prayers, and each person meant everything to me. I mean, I would pray for them. Remember how God said to pray for someone? As if it's your own mother. You would pray for them. I mean, you'll experience how God feels about that person. And it just hits you in the heart. That person is so special to God. Everybody is. We say, that person? Yep. He loves them. Don't be afraid. Help them. But he, you know, I looked up and I was praising him and thanking him then for answering all these prayers, for moving into the hearts of these people and helping them in all these different areas, and thanking him and worshiping him and praising him that he is the God of this universe, that he knows each and every one of these people and is mighty in his way to help them. And so he said, Janie, because I had my hands up, and he said, Janie, and I opened my eyes and he said, this is me. And it was huge. It was the vast hugeness that you see in some of these movies and whatever. But it was him, and he was huge. He was everywhere all at once. He was up, he was down, he was at the sides, he was everywhere. And I was just drawn into it. And he said, this is you. And he pointed down to this little pithy white speck in this huge hugeness. And you wonder why he would bother with you. He loves the heart. Love him with all of your heart. This is the last days. See what it is he needs you to do. Well, he will need you to tell somebody that does not know what we know. We know him. I told you, when you get born again, that's all you need to go to heaven. You could be taken up right then. I mean, that's what privilege the Lord Jesus has bought for us. But no, he left us down here to tell people about Jesus so that they can come to him and receive of his goodness. They must repent, however. You can't just try Jesus. You can't just say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. I know you're... It's a lay down your life. It's a total turn from one way. Total. It's a total turn. And you'd never go back to it. You'd never go back to it. And you never let somebody talk you into it. Yeah, we're way past that. As kids, we could have been talked into it, you know, or persuaded or something. It's a possibility. But if we're definite, no, whatever I promised to do, that's what I'm going to do. Whatever I said I was going to do, then that's what I'm going to do. Well, do you get everything right, Jane? No. And did you ever notice the body of Christ? They're going to pick out everything you just haven't got all together yet. Do you think that I'm going to be God? No, I just carry him around. And I do whatever he says. I'm not God, I'm Jane, okay? I'm Jane, Pastor Jane, mind you. This is who we are. We are God's, we belong to him. And we lay down our life at his feet. Just lay down your life at his feet and then let him raise you up. But you better know his word. If you do not, we should only speak the word and speak the word only, because that's the only thing he hears. Yeah, sure, he knows the story. But what do you say about it, Janie? How many times did he say to me, people are going, oh my gosh, this is happening, blah, 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 blah. And he would say to me, but what do you say about it, Janie? Because why? He knew I would speak his word to him. And I said, well, your word says this, and this is what I believe you'll do. So it wasn't all this. It was making all this terrible, terrible racket. It was such a bad thing, and everybody's in trouble now. You know, we're all going to die or whatever, you know, that kind of thing. No, we don't get into that. God has the way out for everything. He's the healer. He's the deliverer. He's the mighty God. He's the Holy One. He's the only wise God. And nobody comes near him. Mm-mm. There's none beside him, neither is there any besides him. He's holy in all of his ways. And I didn't get to half of what I was going to, but you're going to want to go home, I'm sure. Don't you want to hear the rest of this? Good. Thank you. This will just take a minute or two. Okay. So he says, I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. Ooh, doesn't that make you happy? I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Do you understand what that means? Christians, God's given them to me as my heritage. All right, you read it. Okay, so then, this isn't news, is it? Okay. That thou will prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. Oh, prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. Did you hear that? He prayed for his king. Prepare mercy and truth, which will preserve him. He didn't ask it for himself, but he prayed it for his king. It says, so will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Told you about that. He's heavy duty about those vows. Mm-hmm. If you've said it, do it. That's why he is. He will do it. If he's spoken it, he'll make it good. So I didn't get to the part about the last days. Darn. Oh, well. If you don't mind, I would like for you to read John 15. Actually, all my favorites, but that's my number one favorite. And John 14 is also, but my first is 15, because that's where he nailed down who I am and how he has called me and how he wanted me. You wanted me? I mean, this was all a surprise to me. You've ordained me already? Whoopee! I mean, I was, bam, out the door, you know? And I never looked back. That was 46 and a half years ago, and I've never looked back. And, oh, no, he didn't like that. That didn't mean that things didn't happen to me that made, no, things have happened to me. It has to everybody. But we never look back. We never go back. Going back is where you don't want to be. He's already made you his child. Why would you go be something else? No, you're his, and he's perfect, isn't he? Pure, holy. He's mighty. And what he says, he means. He will help you with everything. He's not short on ability to help you. You or anybody else, anybody you talk to, I don't care what their problem is. Tell them God will fix it. I'm going to tell you this one. And I've told you this one before. But I walked into a Muslim's house. He and his wife were there. Ed and I were talking to him. The son comes in. He had just gone over the fence of the neighbors to get into their pool and swim. It was, you know, late at night. Nobody was out. Just him. Yay! Okay, but as he was going over their fence, climbing up and over their fence, he scraped his back. Yeah, it's not good to, no trespassing, yeah, Okay, well, they'll learn. This was a hard one. He was 15, and so he's a kid. Things happen. And you got to get what's right when you're a kid so that you make a fine adult. Okay, well, anyway, so he comes in the door, and I said, oh, Scott, what happened to your back? And his mother said, oh, and she tells me the tale of him climbing over the fence and scraping his back. It was a huge place on his back, that big. And it was all full of pus and everything. And I said, "Hey, Scott, I want to show you something. Come with me." Now, I didn't say, "Hey, how would you like to," did I? But I say, "Hey, Scott, come with me." And I said, "Where are we going?" He says, "To the bathroom." "We are?" I said, "We are. Come." So he came with me into the bathroom. I said, "Now, turn around." And I handed him a hand mirror. I said, "You watch." I said, "God's going to clean that infection off of your back, and you're going to watch." And he looked at me very, I just don't know how to, but it was all right there. I said, "What you don't know is, Scott, Jesus loves you with all of his heart. He has made you, and you're precious to him. And he sees you have a need. This thing's got to be fixed now before you are down. He's going to take care of you right now, but you keep a watch. What he's wanting to know, if you will lay down." I told him this afterward. I said, "You just watch." I said, "Now, in the name of Jesus, I command this infection gone and this sore healed in Jesus' name." Sore, whatever I called it. Can't remember. And he watched the thing start pouring out of this huge wound of this scrape. It poured down his back. And all the pain was gone. And he looked at me and I said, "God loves you. And he sent Jesus to die for you, to take away your sins. And that means everything you've thought bad, everything you've done bad, everything. Everything you've spoken bad. He's done this for you. And he wants to know right now, will you receive this forgiveness and live for him?" And he goes, "Yeah." So anyway, then I wanted to go home now because I tried to tell the parents. Yeah. What did I try to tell them? That Jesus loved them, didn't I? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But see, that's not their, that was not their religion. And so, hey, they invited me over. Think I'm not going to go? Of course I am. But Scott, we found out, he was 35 years old, had a huge Bible study in his home, so big that the people were out in the yard and trying to hear the message. They put speakers out for him, and but he was born again. He was spirit filled, and he was happy, and he was trying to get his parents born again. I think he got his mom. Anyway, so it's all worth it. And if you take a stand because you know God will, and you say, "God will heal this." Why? He didn't make it in the first place. That's nothing for God, but don't tell him that. No, this is special to them. They're hurting. They've got all this infection. And God's going to make them all better. Now, if you just stay on that track, you're young, but if you'll just stay on that track, he'll lead you into all wisdom all of your life. And you'll be in the perfect will of God, in his perfect plan for you, the reason he made you in the first place. So, back to business. Please read my favorite chapter, John 15. But if you feel happy, 14, 15, 16, and 17. That makes me very happy. So, thank you. Thank you for time. Thank you for listening. Thank you that God loves you. Thank you that we are one in him. Thank you that you understand Jesus Christ is the head, and we are his body. And we are the same. We are one and the same. And he is very, very particular about people. Well, you're all one and the same in the body, but he puts people in position according to his will. Yeah. And so you respect him for it and respect the people that are in it. From the highest to the lowest. He tells you to bless the household of faith. That's what he thinks is most important, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. Well, therefore, our Father, we give worship and praise to you. We give you honor. We bless you. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for making the way for us to come to you. Thank you that Jesus Christ, your Son, the bread of heaven, came down to earth in a miracle birth, loved us by growing up and walking in that way that we could see God and see what you are like. You're marvelous. You're excellent. You care with your whole heart, all of the people. And he was on his way to the cross, and he obeyed totally, without sin. Mighty, mighty and excellent is our Lord Jesus Christ, pure and perfect, glorious. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord Jesus Christ. And he went to the cross for all of us, all on this earth. He went, and he gladly gave his life. And on that cross, he did take all the sin of the world in himself. He didn't leave one sin out. He took it all in himself, and he took the condemnation for it, and he took every curse, and then every curse. He took the curses of the generations which came down to us, but he cut them right off. He took them for us, and it's only if you want them that you'll have them. Yeah, oh, well, you know, my aunt had, so then therefore I... You know, probably this is the same thing. Or my grandpa or my mom. No. Are we limited to this earth, or are we totally under God's care? Has he not made the way for us? Absolutely. And when he takes care of something, it's done and over with. God loves us. God loves us. Get used to it. God loves us, and he is our Father. And we're going to obey him. And we're going to do what he has for us to do, and we will prosper in it. We will do well. It will be well with us and everybody whose life we come into. It will be well. And so he goes down into hell. He strips Satan of his power. Oh, yeah, 3 days and three nights he said he'd be there. And then he took captivity captive and rose from the dead by the power of God, and he took me with him, and I have been seated with him unto this moment. And there is wisdom, and there is love right where I am seated, and there is goodness, and there is great goodness, and there's joy, there's great peace there. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. It is good to be with him. He is everything that we have need of. And I call God's blessings on you in the name of Jesus Christ, all of Faith Christian Center, every person that comes and every person that hears this message. I call you blessed powerfully. I call you well. I call you now grabbing hold of the exact reason that you're in this earth and the people set in front of you to help, in Jesus' name, that we may quickly bring together what God has need of. In Jesus' name, amen.